Hi there, and welcome to the fourth in a series of podcasts that I'm calling Quarantine Conversations. Today I'm speaking with Payden Twing, who runs a small business based out of Western Massachusetts. He's someone that I've known for quite some time. I first knew Payden because he was in a band and subsequently have remained friends with him since leaving Western Massachusetts, where he is still currently living. So Payden, why don't you say hello to everyone and tell everyone who doesn't know you a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, I'm Payden Twing, and I own and operate a small boutique screen printing business called PJT Screen Printing here in Western Mass. I started pretty much like you, how I met you. I started screen printing because I was in a band and we needed merch and it was expensive. So I decided to spend our band money on the equipment to screen print instead of actual shirts. I just kind of, you know, used YouTube and went from there, and just trial and error and DIY, just figured out how to do it. And once I realized I was kind of making money off of it, I was like, well, maybe I should actually try to make money off of it. And that's kind of where I am now.
I've always known you as someone who was kind of a, not necessarily a hustler, but you always would hustle to not, I wouldn't say survive, but you've always hustled to do things kind of your own way. And I think that that is a very admirable sort of quality to have. So how has having your own business compared to working for someone else been for you?
Oh, well, yeah, like I've always, yeah, you're right. Like just tried to like figure out how to just do things my own way or to like, yeah, like you said, hustle like my own way. I had so many jobs doing this, that, and the other thing, like just working in restaurants or retail, and they never felt like anything other than a way to make money. And I realized that like, if I was going to try and, you know, I don't know, make like be happy and make money, like I had to do it my own way because I couldn't listen to somebody else and be happy. So and like I said, accidentally I found out that screen printing was just going to be that avenue. And you know, I like craft and creating, but this allows me to like fill that need without actually having to be artistic, which is nice.
Do you find that you are having to be artistic? Do people ask you to design things that you can't do or prefer not to do, and you just have someone else design them? Or are you starting with the artwork from stage one when you start your projects?
A lot of the times when I'm working with a customer, they already have their art lined up, like with bands or businesses or stuff like that. Every once in a while, I'll get like a bridal shower or gender reveal party or something that requires me to do some graphic design. And while I wouldn't say I'm a graphic designer, I can do the work involved needed for the most part. But I wouldn't, you know, if a band wanted a logo or a t-shirt design, I would send them to someone who actually does that professionally. When it comes to just like, you know, arranging clip art and words to make a customer happy, that's easy. But I'm not really a designer. I can do what's needed to make my prints, though.
I find that when I have to design flyers, I still design them in the way that I used to before the computer, because I'm not a Photoshop guy. I'm very cut and paste, and I will and have done cut and paste up until recently, and then I had no time to do it. So I could certainly just throw something together online if it's just going to exist online. It really didn't need to look as great as it used to with cut and paste on paper, at least for me.
A lot of what I've learned and figured out has just straight up come from YouTube tutorials. If it wasn't for YouTube, I wouldn't know like 2/3 of what I know and how to do it. It's so convenient to just be able to go to like that information source and just like look up the specific thing you're trying to accomplish. And within 20 minutes, usually you can get it, at least the fundamentals of what you're trying to accomplish. So that's pretty much how I've gotten as far as I have. Every time I'm super stuck on something, I just
run to YouTube and ask them, and there's usually an answer.
Now, you had said to me before we started speaking for this installment of this podcast series that your life really hasn't been affected by the lockdown, the quarantine, the shelter in place. I mean, you're in a small town in Western Massachusetts and I'm in Los Angeles. Life is very different. And I don't really know who listening to this would know where you are living at this time. But in a small town, how has life in general been affected? I mean, you will see it when you leave or go to the store, I would imagine.
Yeah, we live close to downtown. You know, so, I mean, this is a reference you'll understand. We're like a 15-minute walk to Big Y, basically. So we're like right near downtown and up near, you know, kind of where the record store used to be. It would take us about the same distance to get there or same amount of time. So we tend to walk around a lot to like get to the places we go. And we've noticed just like every day seems like a weird holiday. There's like no cars on the street and there's no other people walking. And like, yeah, it's just weird because you don't, I mean, Pittsfield's not really a bustling city to begin with, but you don't even see the mild amount of bustling that there used to be. The grocery store is like as chaotic as they are everywhere else. People are just buying things to buy things, it seems like. They're not even buying things that they necessarily need. I saw a guy who was panicking over canned gravy, and it was like, dude, just make it from scratch. It's two things. And he's like, he just like was like, but it's on the shelf. And he just like grabbed three of them. And I was like, okay. Like you're live without your canned gravy, dude. I'm sure it's like, but like, yeah, people just freak out about everything. But yeah, my business hasn't really been affected, which is convenient because I work out of home and most of my interactions in general can be done. Via email or on the phone. And, you know, I just order from a distributor, get people's artwork. And when everything comes in, I print it and people can come pick it up as necessary, or I can drop it off. I don't even have to do physical interactions with people, which has been kind of nice because I know other people are out there like not being able to work. And that's totally scary because without this additional income, I wouldn't be able to survive.
Were you doing anything in addition to screen printing, or has screen printing become your full-time job?
So I'm in the middle. I still have a job. I work as a janitor for a high school. So I'm lucky enough to, because I have a state job, I still get paid even though I'm not actually working. So like, that's super fortunate, but I'm still only a part-time employee through there. So I don't actually have like a great revenue stream from it. So I 100% need the silk screening income to actually like break even every month. If I have to make basically what I make at the school in screen printing every month. And like I said, knock on wood, right? I've been fortunate that people still need t-shirts for their various projects or whatever. Because a lot of people have turned to you know, t-shirt fundraising on the internet. A lot of people are doing special runs of shirts to help raise money for certain things. And luckily for me, like I said, I get to benefit from that.
What has been your favorite project to do that maybe is related to music and then also not related to music? Because I would imagine where you are, there are some bands that do need some things now and then. But you're probably getting a lot of, I guess, quote unquote, mainstream, not music business as well.
I still do get a lot of band stuff. My favorite one to print to date was actually for an underground radio show. I forget what it was called. It was called like the Underdark Pirate Radio, I think, but the design was just very cool. and it had the most colors I've done so far, and the most like intricate like weavings of the colors. And that was really interesting because that was the 6-color run, which is my full press. And, you know, multiple colors are difficult because you have to like, you know, line them up on top of each other. And yeah, that one was just like super challenging because there's so many different colors and layers, and how you lay them down and which order matters. And, you know, I figured it out and I ended up creating a really awesome product for my customer. And like I said, it was just a really cool puzzle to put together, and that was fun. And then I've done a couple for like colleges and stuff. I had a science club that was going to a convention that I did shirts for the University of Utah. I was doing some shirts for my friend Hannah, who lives in California. She's a teacher. You probably remember Hannah back in the day from the record store.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
She had a bunch of youth projects and stuff that she had me screen print shirts for and, you know, mail out to California. And those were really cool. I'm doing I just finished up a mentorship program with a bunch of other local small businesses, and all those guys are going to end up needing merchandise too. And I'm eager to start any of those projects with them because they've all got some really awesome, awesome projects they're working on. And I just, you know, if they're ordering stuff from me, it just means that they're growing, and that's, you know, awesome for all of us.
How do people find you out of state? I would imagine a lot of it's referral, friend of friends, but are you out there somewhere, I guess, you know, online aside from Facebook, or is that your primary way to reach people?
At the moment, yeah, I have my Facebook and my Instagram, which are both, you know, at PJT Screen Printing. I do have a website that I'm in the middle of like working on to get more, you know, operational so that people can actually, you know, make designs or upload their designs and see them there, and then, you know, place orders and get quotes that way. Instead of having to do like the email phone tag type back and forth, it'll be more, you know, a faster streamlined type approach. But at the moment, it's more or less just like a blog spot placeholder, but I do have it up and running as that, just a placeholder, but pjtscreenprinting.com. So hopefully, you know, within a month or so, I'm actually in the middle of working on it, like right now with some people to get that going.
Awesome. I mean, what else is going on? I mean, really?
All right. So if we want
to... There's nothing... I mean, you're not going to be going to the movies anytime soon or going to see a show.
No, that's wicked unfortunate too, because I am part of a summer festival planning committee, and they keep like, you know, posting in their little like chat group, like, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And it's like, Live Nation said they're done doing concerts until 2021. I'm pretty sure our festival this summer is fucking toast.
Yeah, I was really holding out for Punk Rock Bowling to actually somehow get it together for this year, but can't happen. Even if they tried to push it back to the fall, along with Coachella did the same. I think Coachella... I don't remember because I don't follow because I don't care, but I know that Punk Rock Bowling then changed it to next year, next May, because the bands that they wanted to get couldn't, you know, weren't able to get visas, or travel maybe restricted because a lot are coming from overseas or out of the United States. So just to play it safe, they're shooting for May of next year. Which is a drag because, as you know, that for me, that's a big deal.
Well,
and I'm
yeah.
sure this festival for you is a big deal. So talk a little bit about that. What is it and how did you get involved with it? And also now with the possibility of it being postponed until next year.
Well, so it's called RPM Fest, which stands for Rock Punk Metal Fest. It's a once a year festival in, let's see, I got the posters right next to me, so I better not mess up. Shelburne Falls.
sorry, say that again. Where is it?
It's right outside of, it's Miller's Fall Rod and Gun Club in Montague, Mass, is where we normally hold it. So it's kind of in the woods, which is where, you know, a metal festival probably should be held. This would have been our sixth year. Well, I shouldn't say that because I don't know what they're doing. I haven't really talked to anybody about it, but my general thought would be, I doubt it's going to happen just because everything's canceled. I started with RPM Fest just by being in one of the bands that played on it. And then once I decided to stop being in the band, I got on the behind the scenes aspect of it. And I actually am like the stage manager, front of house guy, I guess, for the main stage of the festival. So I get to hang out with all the like, you know, touring bands and stuff that come through and show everybody where to go and what to do and basically hand out waters, because that's really all I do. but it's a sweet 3-day escape where everybody just like has fun and chills in the woods and listens to a bunch of sweet, mostly local heavy metal. It's all, you know, pretty much most of the bands are from New England, with then a handful of, you know, national headliners coming through, which is pretty awesome.
Your involvement with RPM is kind of how I got to know you in a way, I guess, predating this, because at the record store that I had, you were in a band and then you started to help me, quote unquote, run the store, which really wasn't a lot to it. And, you know, dealing with the shows and the bands and that sort of thing. And I think it was, looking back, it was a lot more awesome than it really was, I guess. I don't know. At least for me, I kind of look at it like, you know, but I think other people maybe have a better memory of it all. But it was fun.
Well, for you, it was stressful because it was, you were like the guy on the hook for it all. Like there was actual documentations that you signed to be liable for everything. So of course that adds extra stress, especially when it comes to just like teenagers and young 20-year-olds being your general market. And then you add the whole just general fuckery of musicians and you're playing with a powder keg. And well, that's one of the things that like the record store sort of taught me that I didn't realize until way later, which was when I was like dealing with bands and just how, you know, just, and it doesn't not necessarily just has to do with bands, just people in general, just like how difficult people are. And you're just like trying to do a simple thing and you're thinking you're helping everybody out. And then you got people who are just like, you know, rude and demanding, and it makes you not want to do it anymore. But yeah, so I totally understand like why the record store might not be the fondest memory for you, but I learned a shit ton about how to deal with the like band personalities later that I encountered later on in life because of that record store.
Well, I think that yes, it was definitely, there were some valuable lessons learned, or maybe not lessons, but certain skills learned because of it. And I still utilize all that to this day. And I'm always learning. Although now I finally got to the point where I was doing well with shows and then they just stopped all, you know, all of a sudden, oh, no more shows because we can't have them because, you know, the venue is boarded up and we don't know when we're going to be able to get back in, you know?
It's wicked scary for venues and shit right now. Like if that was your main source of income and you're still expected to pay rent, like how the hell are you expected to do anything right now without, and even just being a restaurant, you like, you can only like do delivery basically. At least that's how it is here. I don't know how it is out in California.
Restaurants are open for delivery and takeout only.
Yep.
If they serve alcohol, they are able to serve alcohol to customers for takeout and delivery.
That's pretty awesome.
Which is kind of unique.
I think they're doing that in Massachusetts too, because I feel like I saw a couple. The fiance was talking about. She mentioned a place that they had to go beers, and I was like, "Wait a minute, that's like a dream of ours." we can actually do that now.
So on let's say hypothetically, just because at this point, you know, today is a day. Doesn't matter what day of the week it is anymore, because until we get back to sort of normal life, it's day. Every day is a Saturday, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So prior to this last month, at least for us, Wednesday night was normal. We really didn't know what was coming on Thursday. Thursday, we woke up and pretty much everything had changed. Everything started to get canceled, closed. Some things remained open, but eventually, towards the end of that week, I think everything then closed. What did you notice first thing when you woke up and maybe went outside on that Thursday or the following day, or tried to go to the store or to a restaurant?
Well, first of all, I love the general aesthetic of being able to dress up as a Midwestern bank robber. The fact that you can go anywhere with a bandana on your face right now is the funniest shit in the world to me. We had a lady like stop and wave us on to like cross the street wearing like a red bandana. And she was an old lady or whatever. And I just laughed so hard because I was like, what the hell time do we live in right now? But I think it's funny. I think it's really funny to see like also like, you know, the people walking around like the grocery store with like the ventilated painter's masks on. Like, I get it too. Like, you got to be safe and everything. You know, Catherine works at the urgent care. So like, you know, my fiance has to deal with that shit all the time. She's wearing face masks and everything all day long. And they've been doing this stuff. They do it during flu season anyway. So like, you know, it's kind of normal for them, but it's wicked funny for me because like I work at a high school, and, you know, the administration was talking, and like, you know, then the staff was talking, and then, you know, us janitors were talking, and we're all like, yeah, there's no fucking way. We're going to have to work no matter what. We'll have to work. Like, there's always cleaning to be done, right? We'll have to work. And then like, they're not going to cancel school either. Like, we've lived through some stuff. Like, they're not going to, when was the last time they ever canceled school for like a virus? Like, never. And then like the week went on and it was like, okay, it's really looking like we're not coming back to school next week. And you're just like, really? Is that actually going to happen? Like, this seems like a funny joke. Like, we're all, April is around the corner. Is this like a sweet prank? And then like Friday rolled around and we all got a phone call after work that was like, the school is shut down. Like, the janitorial staff remains working for the next like 4 days. They're going to like completely disinfect the building, and then the doors are locked until further notice. And it was like, oh shit. Like, mid next week, I don't have to work anymore. What do I do? And at first it was cool, cause it was like, I'll just smoke weed and play video games. Like, what else? What every other American is probably doing right now. I've leveled up some serious characters in multiple games in the past like couple of weeks. But yeah, like, I'm bored for sure. Like, I'm glad I have the screen printing thing to fall back on just as something to do. Cause yeah, it's weird. It's weird not having anything to do. It's weird that a couple of friends of mine, we had just started what were we doing? Like, the second Wednesday of every month, we were getting wings. We started that at the beginning of the year. We got 2 months into it and we have to do it over Zoom now. We have to each individually make our own wings at home and then just hang out on the computer. And that's how we do it now. And it's like, yo, this sucks. I want to just go to the forge.
I find that Zoom and house party, as great as they may be, it's just annoying. It's everyone talking all over each other.
Yeah, no, there's an etiquette to it that's definitely, I think, missed by a lot of people. It's also not many people are used to having a phone call with like six people. So like when it's just two people, you can kind of interrupt quickly and it, like, it's not that big a deal because you can still hear the other person slightly. But yeah, when you get like three or four people in on it, it's got to be like take turns. And then someone will start to say something and someone else will, and they'll both stop and everybody just pauses for a couple seconds and it gets awkward. Yeah, I definitely prefer, I go in waves of being introverted and extroverted. And like, unfortunately, I'm being forced to be introverted during a natural like coming out of shell time for me. I like to be like active and a person in the spring and summer and stuff. And we're being forced to not. And it's like, it's really hard. It's really hard.
You're doing craft shows, right? Or we're doing craft shows.
Well, I was. I did a bunch of them last year. And it was a pretty good way to, you know, just make some extra money and spread the business. But also some of the goods that we were selling at them were being hand-sewn by Catherine. And it's just very time-consuming. And I'll be honest, like, I was paying her with wine, which is not the best payment, especially when you were doing, like, half of the work. So it just became, like, you know, more of a... It went from being like a hobby to a job. And we both realized like it wasn't actually like that fruitful or that fun. So I just kind of like cut it and just was strictly sticking to kind of like the custom jobs from people. Up until recently, even like, you know, I have all this equipment and stuff and the ability to graphic design, but I don't have my own clothing line. Like, you know, that's something a lot of screen printers do is they actually like try to start their own like line of clothing to like sell and stuff. And I actually, you know, I've been doing this for what, 6 years now. And I just this year started actually putting forth the work to do that.
Is that going to be cat centric?
Of course, Andy, of course it's going to be cat centric. Dude, it's even called cat grass. So it's, you know, a clothing line and that's punk rock and heavy metal, style, like, you know, artwork and stuff like that, but it's all going to be cat, yeah, centric. I have a couple. Well, the first design right now, one of the first designs I'm working on right now is very much a Bad Brains album cover, but instead of the lightning bolt going through the city, you know, it's a laser pointer and two cats going like ape shit. you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I have some other ones that are like Black Sabbath inspired kind of looking designs. And I want to use the majority of the proceeds to help like cats and stuff. You know, me and Catherine ourselves generally adopt older cats because they don't tend to get adopted. And then, you know, there's a bunch of feral cat programs where, like, you know, catch and release where they, you know, neuter and stuff. And I want to start, you know, helping to donate to those programs and giving just house cats a better home and feral cats a better home or a better chance at one, at least.
Absolutely. I live with a cat that is great because, well, he's twice the size of my dog. But the cat does not use a litter box. He uses the outside. So it's the best cat ever.
We're having litter box issues right now. We just got a new cat and he's too hyper for the old ones. And one of them, she's all stressed out about it.
Well, this cat, he likes to sleep all day. He's doing that right now. And I don't know why he does this. I don't know if he gets mad at me at some point or whatever, but he's brought in a possum. And if you know anything about possums, they will play dead when they're freaked out as a defense mechanism. So I thought he killed it. Nah, I screamed when I saw it and the thing got up and ran into the living room. So that was something that I had to dig for for an hour, and I finally got him out. Oh, you know, the cat was trying to, you know, bring me a gift, and I'm like, thanks a lot. I found dead things under my bed, you know, not the best, but the fact that he doesn't use a litter box is awesome because he just goes in the backyard.
Well, yeah, you know, these cats are, all our cats are indoors. So we don't get the, you know, it's one trade-off or the other. I don't have to deal with dead animals, which is super gross when it happens, but I do have to clean a litter box pretty religiously, which is only kind of gross. So there is a trade-off there, but, yeah, back in the day when I was living in, you know, Lee is like a teenager, we had outdoor cats, and I don't ever remember having a litter box. I don't ever remember having to deal with a litter box until I moved to Pittsfield. Just because, yeah, like, yeah, he went outside. We had a garage that had a dirt floor, so it was just like, you don't play in the dirt in the garage.
Or the sandbox.
Right. Well, yeah.
What do you hope to accomplish once this quarantine is lifted? Like you said, it doesn't really affect you all that much because you are able to still have some income by working at home. But as far as trying to solicit new business, will it be easier once this is lifted, or will you see other events pick up, such as gender reveals or, you know, local sporting teams, that sort of thing?
Well, actually, right before this all like started, I was, like I said, I was in this like mentorship program, and part of what we were supposed to be doing was going, you know, quote unquote, door to door and introducing ourselves to new local or to other local businesses as an up and coming local business. And I'm all, you know, I have something I can pretty much offer to every other business, and that's the ability to merchandise. So, yeah, like that kind of hurt. Because I was about to go, like, you know, walk up and down North Street and Tyler Street and South Street and introduce myself to all these other, all these businesses as, you know, somebody who could potentially help them make extra money. And, you know, not being able to actually go talk to people kind of put a damper on that. So I'm at the moment, I rely mostly online sales and stuff and word of mouth that way, or, you know, referrals and stuff. So when this is all over, the ability to, like, you know, go out and actually like talk to people and introduce myself as a local business is like the first thing on my list. I was really hoping, you know, that it was like, you know, I said earlier again about how, like, I didn't really think this was going to happen. All us janitors thought this was kind of a joke and everyone was overreacting. I was like really hoping that it would only be a week or two, and once the weather got nice here, I'd be able to, you know, start walking around and talk to people. But it's looking like maybe not even over the summer I'll be able to.
What was the last show that you went to, and do you miss seeing live music, or is that really something that you don't do all that much anyway?
From time to time, I'll schedule with a customer to do a delivery at one of their shows. I haven't done that in a long time because I hate driving in the winter, especially to like Northampton. And that's where a lot of the, you know, delivery meetups are. I hate Route 9 in the winter. I think the last show I actually went to was Ghost. I saw Ghost in New York. It's pretty sweet. I really love how stupidly theatrical they are. I know that a lot of people like jive on them for not being real heavy metal, but neither was Kiss, and people go ape shit for them, so whatever. And then I totally miss going to concerts, because I was supposed to go see Lagwagon on May 16th and that fucking got canceled, and that was going to be with Less Than Jake, so that was going to be a sweet fun ska show, which is now obviously not going to happen. But I was really excited to see Lagwagon on May 16th, which was going to be a Saturday, which is just like the funniest shit in the world. If they didn't play that whole album, then that would have been an opportunity lost for sure. And now I'm sad because it's not going to happen.
Yeah, because that's Lagwagon Day, right?
Yeah, it is. Exactly. So, yeah, I'm wicked upset about that.
Yeah, but I just got a notification oh, the show that you were going to see in October has been canceled and you'll be getting a refund. I'm like, no, I don't want a refund. I want to go see this band, Einsters and Neubauten, that I've never seen, never had an opportunity to see. I've waited, I don't know, a long time, decades to see them, and now I will not.
Well, hopefully you will. I mean, you know, human beings in general are a virus, so I feel like we can't get beat out by another virus. Is that how that works? I'm not a scientist.
I think some people will survive, you know.
Yeah, that's what I mean, but like, I'm just mean like, I feel like by October we should have things under control. Like, God damn it, Halloween is on a Saturday this year.
Yeah, and everyone will be wearing masks, so it's okay.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I'll just actually be a bank robber. That'll be my Halloween costume.
Yeah, it's very strange. You know, when you go into, say, 7-Eleven or Circus Liquor, which is my local liquor store, and I don't drink, but I'm in bars and liquor stores all the time, which is kind of funny. But they used to say, take your hoodie, you know, your hood down and your hat off, or whatever it was, take your shades off. And now everyone's covered up. They look like a bank robber, or they're all in suicidal tendencies or something like that. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny to me that all of a sudden one day everything is fine, and the next day, you know, we all look like, you said, bank robbers from the old West. I mean, I'm in the old West, I guess. So I guess it's kind of appropriate.
Yeah, it's just like we all, you know, we all can live out our old West LARPing fantasy and just like throw on some chaps, put a bandana around your face, and just go walk into town.
Yeah, we just need a horse. As long as you had a horse to ride, I think you'd be all set.
I'd be okay with one of those just like horsey toys that you bounce on. It scoots you forward a little bit.
So after this is over, what's the first thing that you and Catherine are going to do?
Fucking finish planning our wedding. We got engaged at the beginning of the year, and we found ourselves a lovely venue, and then we got that all aside and everything, and now we have to just wait until we're allowed to meet with people and we can continue planning our wedding. But luckily for us, we chose a faraway date, so hopefully we'll actually still be able to have it, because we chose October of 2021. So like I said, knock on wood, I'm hoping we still get to have our wedding. Because I'm not having a fucking like Skype wedding where people bullshit. Like, I want to have a real fucking party. Like, that's the whole point of this. Yeah, no, that's what I'm a little bit like. That's one of the first things I want to kind of get to work on as like a real project and stuff is one, have some friends over for a barbecue and bonfire, and then like actually be able to like plan my wedding, because we were going strong for like a month in planning, and then it was just like all our appointments get canceled. We still have to find like a caterer and stuff and blah 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 blah. You know, the whole nine yards, fun shit planning a wedding, but it's now like on weird hold. And like, oh, a bunch of my friends and I, dudes I used to go to high school with who I haven't seen in forever. They're all like businessmen and stuff. They got like real lives, houses and wives. And we just started, cause you know, I'm like, you know, renegade rock star man to them. And we just started hanging out and like playing music just like once every couple of weeks. And, at first I was like, oh, this is neat, and kind of like not like, I don't want to say I wasn't in love with the idea, but it was just like a thing to do. But they were like, you know, to them, it was like, oh, this is like such a great release or whatever. And now it got taken away from us. And I'm like, fuck, man, I really miss that small amount of jamming I was doing. So it'd be cool to get back to hanging out with people and being able to just like make music, even if it's just bullshit that doesn't leave the basement.
So you're done with really the music portion of your life, at least on the stage, I guess, at this point.
I don't know. You never know. if, you know, an opportunity arose, I'm not against it, but it depends. Like, you know, it depends. It really depends on the situation and the people involved. I don't mesh well with a lot of people, so.
Well, it'd be a shame if you never took up the drums or bass again.
See, that's the thing is, like, as long as I get to play drums, I think I'd be involved. I'd be willing to play in a project. Playing bass, I just don't. It's not that I don't like playing bass. I definitely enjoyed my time as a bassist. And honestly, I like collecting bass stuff, which is a really expensive hobby, just collecting gear but not using it. there's so much cooler and more practical to mount on a wall than a drum set. Yeah, no, if I was ever going to be in a band again or some shit like that, I would totally want to play drums because that's been like my weapon of choice for 19 years now, something like that. So, yeah, I definitely want to do that. But also, like, again, not to say that I haven't loved all the musical projects I've been in, but I've never 100% been in like a band that's like, this is my type of fucking music. There's always some type of compromise. You know, thrash was real close to punk, but it wasn't quite punk.
Right.
Heavy metal was cool and all, but again, like it still wasn't that close to punk as it could be. And like, yeah, I've always just wanted to be in like a really fast, energetic punk band. But now I'm, you know, old and sloppy. So,
well, then it'd be perfect.
Right. Exactly. That's punk for you.
A little off here and there. Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
But before I let you go, have you noticed or have you heard of any local businesses that may or may not make it, may not weather the closures that they are having to deal with? You're kind of in a unique position yourself, but other businesses will have a different story, I would imagine.
Yeah, there's a small little shop down the street from me, which I'll be honest, I don't actually frequent, not because I don't want to, but because I'm embarrassed to. Where they sell like magic cards and they have like D&D tournaments and stuff like that. And I'm nervous for places like that who heavily rely on like daily foot traffic because like they don't have an online storefront type thing. So, you know, I don't want to see them go under because like I've watched them grow from being like, you know, a weekly meetup spot for friends to like an actual like shop on the street. So I'm hoping for like, you know, just all the small businesses around that, you know, we've all watched grow from being like little nothings to now actual storefronts. It's like, you know, if you can't be open, you can't afford your $1,500 a month North Street rental. So what are these guys going to do? Or like, are we going to lose the garden? I certainly hope not. But again, they're another one who has an online storefront. So I'm hoping they're staying alive because of that. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting to see what's going to happen and who's going to go under. I'm really hoping, you know, none of the places I like to frequent do, but that is, you know, I guess progress and how things change. It's unfortunate for anybody who's going to, you know, in a position to lose their business because, you know, that really sucks for everything you've worked for to like just get completely squashed by this. Yeah, the landscape doesn't change too much because of it. It'd be really a shame because there are a lot of good small mom and pop shops around now. Just like smaller locally owned businesses around on North Street, especially. And you know, you don't want to see them close. That's not fun for anybody. Quarantine! Quarantine!